Go to 1 Corinthians 15. Not only did Christ die for our sins, we find that factor out in the gospel. There's other things in the gospel that, and in 1 and 2 Corinthians, and Galatians, let me put the list of books to the prison epistles. You all understand the blessers and cursers, right? Say yes or no, I can't hear you.
Yes.
All right. In the beginning of Paul's epistles, he writes 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, and Romans. And those books are the books that he wrote in this period of time. And so in these books, guess what you're going to see? Jew preeminence. And Gentiles that feared God. You got it? Jews preeminence. Do they know the S factor? Do they know that Christ died for their sins?
Yes,
they do. And that's been revealed to them. And so, but all of these people have a Jewish connection. I was going to go to 1 Corinthians, but go to not Galatians. 1 Corinthians 10. And 1 Corinthians 10 tells a little bit about who the letter is written to. Verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses and in the cloud and in the sea and on and on. Well, who went through the sea with Moses? Jewish, and were there some strangers? Yeah, there were some Gentiles that followed them out as well. The point that I'm making is that in all of these books, you're seeing Jew preeminence and people that understand the law and that kind of thing. And these people understand all that. That's why he said in Romans chapter 2, look in Romans chapter 2. In Romans chapter 2. Even though the S factor has been delivered, the S factor is truth. Verse 17, Acts 2. Did I say Acts? Romans. Oh, that's what I want. Romans 2. Romans chapter 2. I'm sorry about that. Get excited sometimes. Kind of like a race car when it's sitting on there waiting for that green light and it overjumps. That's kind of me sometimes. Verse 17, Romans 2, verse 17. Behold, thou art called a Jew and restest in the law and makest thy boast of God. Now, thou art called a Jew. Some of these were Gentiles that were Jewish proselytes.
Right.
Were they Jews too?
Yes.
They understood the law. They understood this thing was all about the law and that kind of things. And so God tried to tell them about the law. I mean, that's what the book of Romans really has a lot to do with, and Galatians. In Romans chapter 5, look in Romans chapter 5. A Gentile that had cursed, a Gentile that might not even know anything about this, but this is what God said. And the people that he's writing to would have understood this. Romans chapter 5, verse 20. Moreover, the law entered. By the way, who did the law enter with?
Moses.
The law entered with Moses. From Abraham, or from Adam to Moses, is about how many years? About approximately 2,500 years. And from Moses to the cross, 1,500 years. So there's really less time of the law than it's not. It's always fascinating to me in attitude. But why did the law enter? That the offense might what? See, we look at sin sometimes and we see this in our lives. But when you put the law on it, it looks like this. You got it? The law enhances that you can see that you're a sinner. You got it? Now, the law enters itself. Now go to Romans chapter 6. But not only did sin get taken care of at the cross, look at what else happened. Romans 6, verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the what? The law, but under grace. Even in these books, the law had been taken out of the way. You got it? So, the law didn't add to these people anything or add to these, even though they were under the law at one time. Although they understood the law and that kind of thing. He's telling them the law's been basically taken out of the way. So, the S factor was introduced and the law of removal was being done. And that went along for a while. And in that, you also have, y'all know the S factor came in here, right? You have another gospel over here, which is called the gospel of the uncircumcision. Why? What is the gospel of the uncircumcision? That Gentiles were forgiven too. The Gentiles that had blessed were forgiven. Not just any Gentiles, but the Gentiles that had blessed were forgiven too. And Paul is separated onto this for the Gentiles. He's the Paul is the apostle to the what?
Gentiles.
So why is he going to Jews? Well, God told him to go. He said, I want you to go to the Gentiles and to the kings and to the children of Israel. Okay? So, during that period of time, guess in Acts chapter 9 through 28, guess what he's doing? He's going to Jews, Gentiles that feared God, and who? Kings. Who was the king he went in front of? King Agrippa. Okay, so he fulfilled all that mission, and that started, this whole thing is declining down to the end here. This is Acts chapter 28. Israel is totally declining. At the end of Acts 28, though, Israel is no longer involved. That's why so many things started changing during Paul's epistles. All right, who stole my note? I had two notes written on a piece of paper. Ah, that's okay. I'm glad that it happened to me because I don't need them.
When you said things are changing, you're talking about the religious ceremony.
Is that my yellow paper there?
No.
Yeah, it looks like that. Okay.
My Happy New Year for my old
chemistry
thing I never did make.
Okay. That's okay. I've got it under control. I can handle the denominational system with one half of my brain tied behind my back just to make it fair. Go to 1 Corinthians 9. You thought you were going to stump me? It cannot be done. But I do want my notes back, those Steelers. I probably dropped it somewhere. I only had two notes written on it, so it wasn't that big of a deal. In 1 Corinthians 9, y'all there?
Yes, sir.
That's why Paul makes this statement. Verse 20, unto the Jews I become as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. Paul, when he was around the Jews and around those that were legalists, what did he do? He kept the law. Did he have to?
No,
he did it so that he wouldn't offend somebody. Now, I don't think you have to do that now. But at this period of time, in this juncture, Paul's doing very, very Jewish things. Okay? I mean, he's taking vows, he's healing the dead. Go to Acts chapter 14. He's still preaching the gospel of Christ. It didn't change the gospel of Christ. He kept the feast. He did everything that you wouldn't do. God would not have you to do it. And I'm going to show you that in just a minute. And that includes, just this is for Jeff, tongues and miracles and wonders. You're going to see that in just a minute. All of that was very, very important for the mission and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ to the Jews. Go to Acts chapter 14. Did I tell you to go there?
Mm-hmm.
All right, good. Verse 8. Oh. Can I come up in the passage just a hair?
Yeah.
Verse 4. And the multitudes of the city was divided, in part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles, talking about Paul and his group. And when they were, there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also the Jews with their rulers to use them despitely to stone them. They were aware of it and fled Lystra and Derbe and the cities of Lycaonia into the regions round about. And they preached the gospel. What gospel did they preach there? The gospel of Christ. You need to put that Romans chapter 1 verse 16 in your Bible. You won't remember it. While he's preaching the gospel of Christ, there was a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being crippled from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same had heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceived that he had the faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand up right on thy feet," and he leaped and walked. You see that? Why did Paul do that? The Jews require a sign. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. I'd write that in my Bible right there. They require a sign. So for Paul to do that, and look back at 2 Corinthians, I believe it is, chapter 12, verse 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at this. This is very important to grasp. 12, verse 12. Verse 12. Truly the signs of the apostle were wrought among you in all patience in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Well, come on. He did all the signs, miracles, and wonders and mighty deeds. Why? The Jews require a sign. That was so important that people would start to understand that many miracles were done by the hand of Paul during this period of time. It is not true for the Gentile church as we are now. Look, and you may want to write right there in your Bible, Acts chapter 19, verse 11, and then turn there. Acts 19, verse 11. Write it in your Bible. Mark it, score it, highlight it, whatever you got to do. I know you probably don't have that reference, right?
Acts what?
Acts 19, verse 11, and then flip there. Well, I about got it right. If we could just get a pretty girl back on that one, we'd have all girls working. Much easier to look at. Nobody can see you, brother. Yes.
The problem I have with that is, back up one book to 1 Corinthians, mm-hmm. and this is Paul talking.
Right.
You know, he starts talking about the gifts of the Spirit. And
you know, the Corinthians, they were gifts of the Spirit. That's what I'm trying to tell you right here.
Yeah.
He's doing that. That's what I'm telling you. He is. He got the gifts of the Spirit. But I'm going to show you that those gifts go away. Bye-bye.
Right. By when?
By the end of the book of Acts.
But he wrote the book of Acts during the same time period that the book
of Corinthians was written.
Right, he wrote Corinthians during the time period that
these books were written in the last part. This is Acts chapter 9. This is Acts chapter 28. You all understand that?
Right.
This is time. During the Acts chapter 9 to 28, he wrote these books. Which would have been what you're saying about the miracles and whatever.
Right.
You're exactly right, Jeff. That's what I'm saying too, 100%. During that period of time, Paul is doing some healing and on and on. Look what he said in Acts chapter 19. Verse 11. And God wrought special miracles by the hand of who?
Oh.
Why? The Jews require a sign. To the Jew he became a what?
Jew.
So that he would do Jewish things, and the church would have even done some Jewish things,
right,
to show them the faith. Y'all understand?
Right.
That they got the gospel. It would be easy to receive. Paul, when he was on shipwrecked, got bit by the snake. He slung it off. Did it hurt him?
No,
it didn't hurt him. Why? But let that snake bite you. We'll see if it works today. Yes.
And the first the Corinthians, they had healed too, to show to the Jews that they were saved.
Absolutely. That's why I was reading that all about the spiritual miracles in 2 Corinthians. Absolutely. I mean, they had to do those things for the Jews. Why? Go back to it. Remember what he said in 1 Corinthians 9. Where was that reference you just gave, Jeff?
That's 1 Corinthians 12, starting about verse 7.
Yeah, okay, I'll deal with that.
And over here on verse 28 it says, and God hath sent some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, teachers,
Yeah, no, I know the past. I thought that's where you were talking about. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. All the way through Corinthians, all the way basically through Romans, all the way through Galatians, all the way through the Thessalonican, Paul was doing miracles, wonders, and signs. Why? He was trying to win the Jews. What was the gospel being preached? That was a mystery. Amen? That was being taught. Now, there is a lot of debate of this in the grace movement. Y'all understand? It is probably the biggest thing in debate. There are those that teach that the mystery is that the Gentiles could get saved. I'm telling you that I don't believe is the mystery. I don't believe that's the mystery. I believe the mystery is that Christ died for our sins. You got it? That's what I believe the mystery is. There are those that teach that the Gentiles are getting saved is a mystery. No, God had always dealt with Gentiles, and Rahab the harlot is an example. Ruth is an example. The Syrophoenician woman in Matthew 15:22, the centurion servant in Luke 7, those are all examples. So God had always dealt with Gentiles based upon the covenant of Genesis chapter 12. You all understand?
Right.
Based upon that covenant, God dealt with Gentiles.
Right.
But somewhere toward the end of the book of Acts, somewhere I believe, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let me just deal with the issue. So in the church at the beginning, would there have been people that had done miracles?
Yes.
Would there have been people that spoke in tongues?
Yes.
Would there have been people that did? Yes, all of those things, even though the gospel was what? That Christ died for our sins. But all of them were very Jewish. That's why I started out in Romans chapter 1. He says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power it's the power of God unto salvation to the what?
Jew
to the what?
Jew first.
And also to the, Well, the Jew first needs, the Jews require a sign. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. Wherefore, the Jews require a sign. Well, what is a sign? Go to 1 Corinthians 14. And look, if you will, in verse 22. 1 Corinthians 14, 22. Everybody read it with me. Just the first part. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign. You see that? Who requires that? The Jews. Did the Jews believe? Did the Jews believe? They rejected Jesus Christ, didn't they? Look at what it says. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, that would be the Gentiles, but to them that what? Believe not. That's the Jews. But prophecy serve not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. Now, we don't need prophecy now. Why? We have the written Word of God now. But before they had the written Word of God and it was complete in canon and scriptures that we would have, guess what we needed? Prophecy. You got it? So during the very first part of Paul's epistles, guess what's happening? Miracles, wonders, and signs, but they're taking on what gospel? You with me? Missy, have I lost you, baby? Okay. So tongues are very predominant. Healing. Go back to where Jeff was taking us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm just going to start in verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. Well, he'd already told you that the, help me out, Jews require a sign. People today are ignorant. They have no idea what signs are for. They're just doing signs, miracles, and wonders as if God's doing them today. And people are flat out ignorant. Now, it's the difference between ignorant and stupid. I'd rather be ignorant, amen? You can't teach an ignorant person. You can't teach a stupid person anything. Yes?
I guess just reading, you know, all of chapter 12, just reading it, it sounds like he's talking to the Gentiles, which is...
No, I just showed you that. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10.
No, I mean, right here.
No, I mean, but get further in the context. Go back to chapter 10. I mean, I'm going to read the context of it. Who is he actually talking to? Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the seas and were all baptized unto who? Well, that ain't Gentiles for the most part. That's Jews, brother.
Okay.
I mean, that's who he's talking to.
Well, I mean, right here, it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away...
On dumb idols. Yeah, there were Gentiles there too. And there are Gentiles that think they're also Jews by circumcision.
Right.
That's why I use Romans chapter 2. During this period of time, there are basically three people involved. There's Jews, Jewish proselytes. Those are Gentiles that have taken of the ordinance of circumcision and put themselves under the law, and Gentiles that feared God. All three are in the Corinthian letter. All of them are in the Roman letter. All of them are in the 1st and 2nd Thessalonians letter. And all of them are in the Galatian letter. You with me? All three are there. But the Gentiles don't know much. They're carried away with their dumb idols. They don't know what really is going on. So he's educating them. Wherefore, I'll give you understanding that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And that no man can say Jesus is Lord, is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversity of gifts, but of the same Spirit. You've got to remember that the Jews are used to signs. Were the Gentiles? I mean, really, were the Gentiles?
Which Gentiles?
Any of them. They weren't really used to them. I mean, when Moses was getting ready to lead Israel out of Egypt, what did he have to do? What did God have to do to Moses? He said, man, open your shirt up, put your hand in, pull your hand down. And that's where they got the hokey pokey. Put your right hand in, pull your right hand out. No, I'm just kidding. At least it's fun to come to church, amen? And that the hand would come out left, and he'd put it back in, and it'd be white as snow. Now, why did God do that to Moses? The Jews require a sign. So he throws down his rod. Now, that's the darn funniest story I've ever said, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, because that's really not the issue of my the sermon this morning. But he threw that rod down, and you know how he grabs that snake?
By the tail.
By the tail. You know why? They were going around, and that snake was chasing him. It was going around in a circle, and he grabbed the tail, and it became a rod. And then he said, go do these miracles, and he did, like, I think 5 or 6 of them. And you know what the magician said? Those are all cheap tricks. We can do that. But finally got to a point where the magician says, you know what? Ain't nobody can do this trick. This is the hand of God. Or he says this is the finger of God. And you know what, guys? People are deceived by those same deceivers as Hymenaeus. And those guys back there that were those sorcerers. And they're still being snaked by the snakes. And here's the thing. During that time, the Gentiles could do speak in tongues and miracles and wonders. Why? It's for the Jews. It's for the Jews. He heals that guy that's impotent in his feet. Amen? Look at the end of this. Look in 1 Timothy, I think it is. Where are we? Is it 2 Timothy or? Yeah. My mind.
Well, Brian,
yes.
It's in 1 Timothy 5:23.
1 Timothy 5?
Yeah.
23, that's it. There it is. Thank you. Now, all right, so Paul's able to do miracles. We saw that in Acts chapter 14, right?
Right.
He tells that guy to get up off of his feet, leap, dance.
Right.
He gets up and gets to get on.
Right.
His best buddy. Sitting there, sick. You know what he tells him to do? Let me pray for you and I'll heal you. Verse 23. Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thy often infirmities. Well, Paul, why don't you heal Timothy? He couldn't do it at that point because we're past the point that God is trying to deal with any Israelites. Any. He can't do it anymore. His power is gone. You know what? We walk by faith and not by sight. And now that has really come to fruition. He hadn't got the power. He even leaves Epaphroditus sick. I mean, over and over, there's people laying around sick that is his servant. What, you don't heal them? No, he can't heal them. It's impossible. You know why? Go to Acts chapter 22. But good. Whoever said 28. We're probably going there too. Now go to Acts chapter 22. When Paul finally leaves and there's no longer a Jew to be found to be saved in the sense of a nation, man, guess what ceases? Tongues, miracles, wonders, and signs. Could the Corinthian church do it? Yeah. Did the Galatians church? Yes. Did they wear their coverings? 1 Corinthians 11. I mean, brother, here's the funny thing. You know, people want to claim the tongues out of 1 Corinthians 12 and 28 there. Why don't they take the coverings of 1 Corinthians 11? Why isn't your wife wearing a covering? I mean, they make a big fuss out of the tongues. Amen? Oh, we've got the power of God to do this. Then why don't they wear the coverings of 1 Corinthians 11? It's hard to do.
I just think to any normal person, you know, to any normal person reading their Bible at home, you know,
But you know what? God never intended. See, that's a misnomer. You cannot read this Bible and get it. That's why God chose the church teachers.
The natural man receives not the things of God.
Well, even the saved person needs a teacher. God chose the church teachers. You know why? To lead you through. I had one of the best teachers in the world.
Look what most of them have done.
Yeah, exactly. Aren't you feeling blessed now? You ought to be sitting here thinking, I'll put an extra $30 in the plate. Amen? Listen, there isn't a church that you go to or you've been to that have kind of taught you the Word of God as I've taught you. Amen? And you know, they get all hung up on these one points or that points and their little hobby horses and ride them like a thing. Well, okay, you're great to do 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Why not verse 11 where your wives are wearing the coverings? See, that's like what they're doing. Acts 2:38, we want to baptize, but they won't take Acts 2:44 and 45 where they have to sell out.
Right.
I don't want to do that. I don't want to do Acts 2:44 and 45.
Right.
And then there are some that take Mark 16,
right,
but won't take Mark 16 verse 17.
Right.
And on and on. So we have to learn to rightly divide. See, if you had the unction, if you had the Holy Spirit, like in 1 John, look in 1 John. If you had that, look what happened. Look in 1 John 2. If 1 John was written to you, if 1 John was your doctrine, you wouldn't even need me teaching you. I mean, my goodness gracious. I mean, why would you even go to church? You'd have it. Look in 1 John 2.
20.
All right, how many on 20?
27.
All right, how many on 27? No. 20 is what I want first. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Do you? Well, I don't have that unction, and that's the unction that you need to do the healing, the miracles, and the wonders and signs. If you had it, you wouldn't need me up here. Why do you think that Peter only wrote two epistles? Paul wrote half the New Testament, 13. They had the unction. They didn't need a teacher. Why do you think God sent 13 epistles to you through the Apostle Paul? You need a teacher. Okay, that should have been, duh! At least somebody help me out. Duh! Two epistles. Why? They didn't need a teacher. And look at what he said in verse 27. But the anointing, which could produce tongues, miracles, and wonders and signs, and Paul did have it one time, but the anointing which you received of him abideth in you, everybody. You need not that any man teach you. Why? But as the same anointing teaches you what? If you had the Holy Spirit, would you need me up here teaching? If I believed in 1 John 1:9 and I was a pastor of a church, I would only do praise and worship. There'd be no reason to have a teacher. There'd be no reason to bring your Bible. Hey man, it'll be written upon your heart, the Bible says. You won't even need me if 1 John 1:9 is in effect.
Church I was in, they didn't bring their Bible.
See? There you go. And how messed up were they?
Hey, the Mormons that came to witness to me didn't bring one either. They had a
barred
mind.
I mean, you want to know how silly this thing is?
They read it.
I mean, the whole thing is really playing silly games. How many of you guys have heard this doctrine? Well, if you don't confess up your sins, you can't pray to God. How many's heard that? Well, you got to clean your life up before you can get to God through prayer. I've heard that my whole life. Clean it up. Well, then how do you do 1 John 1:9? If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just. Well, if I'm a sinner, He won't even hear me. Do you understand how stupid people are? Do you understand in 1 John 1:9, if you're a sinner and you're calling out God to cleanse your sin, He couldn't hear you according to that doctrine they laid on you, which is baloney, but everybody believes it. And so before they go to the Lord, they confess up their sin. Well, how do you pray and confess up your sins if God doesn't hear sinners? You know, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. You know what shed? You know what gets rid of your sins? It's not your confession. It's the shedding of Christ's blood. Now, go back to Acts chapter 22. At the end of the book of Acts, guess who's fading away? Israel is going, bye-bye. And as that happens, guess what's happening to tongues and miracles and wonders? Bye-bye. Bye-bye. And let me tell you, the more you get, this stuff is important, Jeff. I mean, this is the crux of the matter. I mean, you got to get it down. Because let me tell you what, this Bible ain't going to switch for any of us. Now watch this. Are y'all in Acts chapter 22? When he's in a trance in the temple, verse 17, doing Jewish things. By the way, could Gentiles get in? Yes. Could they? No, they could not. So he's in the temple, still doing very Jewish things. Do you all understand? I am really out of time. All right, let's just try this. We'll go as far as we can go. And it came to pass, verse 17, and it came to pass when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance and saw him, the Lord Jesus Christ, that is, saying unto me, make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I'm in prison and beat in every synagogue. Well, who would be in synagogues, guys? Jews. Where do you think Paul went during his Acts epistles? In the synagogues of the Jews. And guess what they would have to do to get those Jews convinced? Miracles, wonders, and signs. Verse 20. And when the blood of the martyr Stephen was shed, I was standing by, consenting unto his death, keeping the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, depart! For I'll send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. You know who those Gentiles are? That's us. That's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. Those Gentiles that had no hope. Those Gentiles that had cursed. That had no connection with Israel. Had never seen a sign, miracles, and wonders. Those Gentiles that were so far in the dark that even a flashlight might not get them back. That's you. Go to Acts chapter 28. Now he's in prison for those Gentiles. You got it? Acts 28. Verse 17 again. He's in a different kind of temple this time. Called prison. Trust me, I've been there. Not as many times as Jeff, but... Well, actually, I've been there more, just not as long as Jeff. Been there a couple of times, but I think Jeff's only been there once, but he stayed a long time. No, you've been there a couple of times? Were we in the same prison? No. Paul was in prison. You know, people say, well, you know, you mean you've been in prison? Yep, but so is my apostle, so take that. Say, are you a rascal? Yes, I am. So was Paul. Take that. Paul got forgiveness. Guess what? I did I. So did I. That's good stuff. I didn't see your husband, and her husband's a correction agent. Thank God. You know. Say, man, isn't it that prisoner? And there's a police officer back there.
I worked in the jail before.
I know, but you were never in it.
Well, I was, but I hadn't.
You had the key, brother. Us two, we were really in it. Well, the only other person I think that was in jail other than us is Tony. And that's because he sells Toyotas that the gas pedals stick. Yeah, he needed to go anyway. He calls the elders, let me get through this, he calls the elders of the Jews. And I'm going to cut down on the context a little bit. Verse 20. For this cause, therefore, have I called you, the elders of the Jews, to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel, I'm bound with this chain. Israel had become, lo am I. At this point, God ain't dealing with Israel no more. And he has not dealt with Israel for nearly those whole 2,000 years. Say, Israel is a nation now. No, they're not a nation that God has formed. They are a nation politically, but not a nation spiritually. You got it? It won't be until the rapture happens that they will become a nation spiritual unto Israel, unto God. It's just like political and spiritual is kind of like moral and spiritual. People believe you ought to be moral. Do I think you ought to be moral? Yeah, but do you understand that morality is not spirituality? That's the confusion. The dichotomy is they get this confused in their mind. Well, at this point, why is he bound? Because he'd say, I'm going to go to these Gentiles, and they yanked him up, and he was in chains from Acts chapter 22 all the way until here. But look in verse 28. Be it known therefore unto you, Israel, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles. Those Gentiles are like you in this room. And that they will hear it. At that point, guess what? No more Jews. Why? No more Jews. And so they've been gone for all that period of time. And he couldn't heal Epaphroditus, and he couldn't heal Timotheus. You know what? Use a little wine for thy stomach's sake. Even in the middle of all this, Paul asked the Lord three times that something depart from him. And you know what the Lord said? You know what? My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Well, that didn't match John 14, verse 12 and 14. He said, if you'll ask anything in my name, I will do it. Well, he didn't do it for Paul. God must be a liar. No, there's something dispensationally changed. And so now, there are no miracles. There are no more signs. You want to believe? It's faith. You got to believe the book. Say, well, I'd like to see a sign. You know what an evil and idolatrous generation seeketh after? A sign. You know what the church today is trying to seek after? Go to Matthew chapter 12. I'm going to go over a few minutes. Y'all can put a few extra dollars in the plate, can't you? Huh? Okay. 12. Look at this. I hadn't even drank my cup. Matthew That chocolate donut sustained me the whole sermon. What?
You've been preaching hard today.
Am I sweating? That's worth an extra $100. Who's got an extra $100 to put in the plate? All right, there you go. You're going to put $100 in?
He's cool in the fire.
All right, I'm going. I'm going. Don't let me slow down. Verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, and this is true of today, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a what? But there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And you know what, guys? God did those signs time and time and time and time again for Israel. All the way through their existence. But at the end of the book of Acts, God is sick. God is sick of Israel. See, he sent them their son. They rejected him and crucified him. Then Peter told them about what they had done. Some of them repented, but the majority of them rejected it. Are you listening to me? He wanted to throw them up there, but then he gives them one more chance with Paul and the gospel of the grace of God and the gospel of Christ. And Paul preaches that gospel, and they reject that. And at the end of the book of Acts, he said, their eyes they have closed, their ears are dull of hearing, and on and on. And he said, I'll send this on to the Gentiles. And from that point on, are you listening to me? God never does another miracle, never does another sign, never does anything. The coverings come off, the Lord's Supper, the ordinances, all of them, Colossians chapter 2, were nailed to the cross. And so there's not a single ordinance to the church except what's written to the church in Romans through Philemon, which is still true today. Guys, listen to me. There are churches filled with people that are flat out confused. Amen?
Amen?
You know what? They do need teachers. They can't sit home and read it and get it. God did not intend you to do that. That's why he chose teachers. That's why I'm here. You say, well, I wish I had a better teacher. I wish you had a better teacher too. I mean, if I could just sit here and channel Brother Moore for you, I'd be satisfied with that. Or some of the great preachers of time past, Bullinger and some of these guys. But I can't. You know what I've got? You got me. I'm not very good, I'm afraid. But you know what? Listen, let me tell you what. My job is to make sure that you're equipped and well aware so that when you're ready to meet your Maker, you know. There's been a few people that have gotten saved in a few years. Some of the people in Kentucky, if you're not going to Gunnersville, you're not going to get to meet them. There, hopefully one or two of them will give their testimony. I hope you'll give your testimony too. There's people in here that just recently gotten saved and enjoy their salvation and things that you ought to be able to stand up and testify to the grace of God and the things that God did for them. But you know what? It wasn't based upon any miracles. You know what it was based upon? It was upon some man standing up in this pulpit preaching the gospel to you. And it is a little confusing, Jeff. I guarantee you it's flat confusing. And you know what? When you first start studying the people in Kentucky, people ask me why I drive 7 hours on Monday to go preach a class up in Kentucky. I don't actually like driving 7 hours by myself. I don't even like that drive. But I'm doing it because it's needful for them to be rooted and established in the truth. You can't just win them and let them flounder. They need to know the truth. And that's why they're watching today and why they're a group of them up there, you know, doing that. It's because they need to be grounded. Otherwise, just stay home and figure it out on your own. And you know what? Even today, I call Jerry and some of the other preachers up and say, what do you think about this? Or what do you think about that? Because you know what? Even I need a teacher. That's what people ask me, why do I go to a Bible conference? Go ahead, ask me. To learn. Somebody may have something for me. that I've been asking for years. You know what? I've been reading this Bible for years and years and years and years. And we had a Bible conference over at the old church. And Clyde Pilkington got up and preached. And he preached on Philemon. And boy, how many here has ever heard me preach on Philemon? You got it, right? You know, a pretty powerful little book. I didn't understand it for years. I mean, I read it for years. I'm like, I don't understand this book. Why did God put this book? And I got the understanding of that book. And so I was up there, and we were up listening to the music, the Hudson, what were their names? Anyway, up at Deedsville. And we were up there, and Sean says, you know what? I'll never forget the first time I ever understood Philemon. I understood it from you. And I'm thinking, well, it didn't come from me. It came from Clyde Pilkington. But you see, none of this stuff is my truth. Man, if you're coming up with your own truth, it's probably not good. You know, if you're the only one preaching it, probably not good to be doing so. You know, back off just a little bit. But you know, I got a hold of that thing, and I've showed Philemon to 100 people. People said, man, this is the first time I ever understood it. Well, I know that feeling. And that was at a Bible conference. That's why I go. Let me tell you what, Missy, you ought to go. Jeff, you ought to go. It's this next weekend, 5th, 6th, and 7th. It'll change your life. It will change your life. Yep, babysitters. And if they don't, we'll eat them. March 5th, 6th, and 7th, you don't want to miss. I appreciate you joining us on the internet.